Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Roll free record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Okay, let's go. Super Talk Eagle Hour is on the air. Bob Getty, Kelly Center. We're in the Southern Bancorp studio here in Hattiesburg. I got all the right buttons pushed now, finally. Glad you're with us. Opening segment of the show, as always, sponsored today by our good friends at Movie Star Restaurant right here in Oak Grove. 25 years serving delicious buffet meals 6 days a week. Movie Star Restaurant. You want a great lunch? Check them out. 11 to 2 o'clock. 25 years serving up fresh, delicious buffets each and every day. Bob and Kelly, Dima will be joining us shortly. Just get right to it, Kelly. We got a full show today. Kalix Stevens is the one of the new basketball coaches at Southern Miss. He's going to join us. Baseball coach Ben Brewer on the show today as well. And we want to start off today with our Sun Belt countdown. And who we got today, Kelly?
The Troy Trojans. A lot of people, if you push came to shove and they had to pick a team to win the West, most people are betting on Troy.
Time for the Super Talk Eagle Hour 2026 Sun Belt Football Countdown, sponsored by Hancock Whitney Bank.
At Hancock Whitney, we know strong communities are built through teamwork, dedication, and tradition, the same values that define Southern Miss athletics. I'm Daniel Stewart, business banker at Hancock Whitney. We're proud to support Eagle Hour and the student athletes, alumni, and fans who make Golden Eagle Nation so special. Whether you're buying a home, growing your business, planning for retirement, or simply looking for a trusted financial partner, our team is here to help you every step of the way. Hancock Whitney, your dream, our mission. Proud to support Southern Miss. To the top.
Jared Parker, head coach of the Troy Trojans, joining us on the Eagle Hour. Coach, good to see you. Ready to rock and roll? Ready to go?
Yeah, this kind of tells you it's time to go when you show up in New Orleans and do this. So.
You know, when you look at I was looking and preparing for the interview, and as well as you guys did last year, there were some areas, with all due respect, that you weren't real good in.
Yeah, agreed. Agreed totally.
So let's talk about the running game. Yeah. First of all, you guys were kind of inconsistent last year. What do you do to shore up a running game that wasn't as good as you wanted it to be?
Number one, thank you for looking it up and seeing it. Yeah, if you looked at us statistically, it doesn't look like a team that played for a conference championship in some ways, in many ways. And the number one area is running the football and stopping the run. And we did not run the football well at all. There's plenty of variables to that. I think one is sack yardage. We gave up too many sacks, and that kills your rushing yardage. And then two, we weren't good enough running the football. So it's going to be a huge commitment for us to find ways to run the football better. And then we've got to stop it too. We did not, we stopped the run very well, but we had two or three runs a game that got through a gap that wasn't secured and gave up long runs that killed our rushing defense as well. So it's a fair point and look, and one that we've studied and looked at very well. We've got to run and stop the run way better if we want to win a championship, in my opinion.
But when you look on the other side of the defense, though, you said we had trouble stopping the run. Pass rush was great.
Yes.
You know, so to the layperson, they're going, oh, wait a minute, how can you be so good at pass rushing? Over pursuit, maybe?
I think maybe a commitment to, at times, wanting to get to the quarterback more than doing your job and staying in your gap and being gap sound at times would be the culprit, right? Like overcooking some pass rush stuff. And then the other piece is we had some, I wish I could show you a 20 play cutup of critical missed tackles, like tackles that you can't miss, like, because you're going to miss some when you play good players, but we had some critical missed tackles in places where guys were there that ended up being big runs that were backbreakers that happened to us in the championship game. And So we've got to tackle better and be better in our gaps and how we defend both pass and run to be better defensively.
So now offensive, you've got a new man, offensive coordinator, Adam Austin, is that right?
Correct.
From Tarleton over in Texas. What was it about his coaching skill set that you really liked?
Yeah, I think, the first one, I'll be honest, certainly was production. I was attracted by production. But also knew a few people that I trust very much that had crossed paths with Adam in different stops of his career. I trusted those people, so it was a reason I was initially attracted to him. And then when I got on and Zoomed with him and got a chance to interview him and spend time with him, I loved his temperament. I loved how he's had to grow in the profession and do it the right way and go from small town ball and work himself on his way up. He's got a really good way about him and poise. And again, there's a background of success and highly successful offense that I think our team and our people needed and deserved to have, and something that we had to do. And so I think him being successful but also who he is as a person was the reasons we got there.
I think generally in all of these preseason prognostications, regardless of the conference, the teams that are always projected to finish high is because the quarterback room is solid and consistent. And with Crowder and Kilcrease both coming back, I think that's right.
Yeah,
1,500 yards. Kilcrease passed for 1,500 yards. Goose threw for 11. I mean, that's why I think the expectations for you guys are so high. You don't have one, you got two quarterbacks.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think that would be the... Honestly, I think it's the only reason why. I throw Donnie and Crenshaw in there as well.
Sure.
But that's really it. I mean, we have 53. I'm going to say it up on the big podium. We have 53 new players. Why are we first? I think you do point to what you just said in the quarterback room and the defensive player of the year preseason and special teams player of the year preseason. That's maybe the reason, but we got a long way to go.
Yeah, and as productive as they weren't protected very well.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, fair.
So how do you explain that they could be so productive when they were under the gun so much?
Well, I think it honestly, I do believe this, and I'm going to choose to believe this. I think them having to do it the way we did last year and not being protected well, I think makes them better players for this year, because we better protect them better. And I think we will. And I do think that being under duress and having to manage hits and all the things that it takes to play that position will make them better in our future this year.
All right, that's Jared Parker, head football coach at Troy. Kelly, what's your impression overall of these men that you've interviewed?
I think they're all terrific. Really, they're not given really enough credit, and I don't think it's because they don't have the ability, obviously. I think it's because they're so insulated by gatekeepers and so on that they live in this kind of bubble. But they really know what they're doing. And when it comes to the Troy in particular, last year Coach Parker was a little bit more standoffish, newer in the job. But now, man, he's gregarious and and he said after the interview, he said, I've done a lot of these, and you were the first one that knew anything about our team from last year, which meant a lot to me. But I think it all goes down to that last point that we just talked about. Their quarterback room doesn't have one starter from last year, two, with significant numbers. And we all know how important the quarterback is, even if it's peewee football.
So a little bit of that downplaying was a little coach speak, perhaps?
For sure. I think that's always the case. But he also said if we can show up a few things, there should be no reason why they shouldn't be playing.
What caught my ear, though, is when he said, why us? Why are we not, why are we picked? That sounds like to me a coach that knows why they were picked, but it's kind of playing expectations down a tad.
And part of it goes into what did you do last year?
Yeah.
So and they obviously played, at a very high level for the conference and so on. So I think Troy is going to be formidable again. And of course, unfortunately, they're in the West Division with Southern Miss.
Well, they've been good throughout. And
yeah.
This year would be no different. Tomorrow we'll be talking to Major Applewhite at South Alabama. Not quite as much expected of them, fair to say?
No, and I think he's a little bit chapped about that, too. And he was really the only one that even showed any emotion as to where they were picked. I think he thinks that that they're going to be a lot better than other people think they're going to be, which you should, I guess. Mm-hmm. Even if they have you picked first, you got to think that you're going to do well.
Troy, South Owl, Louisiana, three teams in the West, you think, right now to beat?
I think
is South Owl in that conversation, I should say?
No, I don't think South Owl is in the conversation. I do think that Louisiana and Troy, however, are, and Louisiana Tech is going to be the wild card.
I think they're in it too, yeah. Yeah. All right, good work. We sure appreciate the Hancock Whitney Bank and the Daniel Stewart and that smooth radio voice. Did you pick up on that?
That head, we're going to have to get this doorway a little bit bigger, Bob.
Yeah, now I know what he meant the other night when he called me and said he wanted to talk to me about your future role on the show. He may be lobbying to replace you.
And that he wanted you to talk to his people, his representation.
His
now.
Representation.
Yeah, yeah.
It's representation.
Sorry about that.
He did ask me to remind you about that late note, too, with the bank.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Ben Brewer doesn't know the bank any money. Only me and Kelly. We'll be talking to baseball coach Ben Brewer. Father and Son Camp is upcoming. That's the most special camp of the year out at the Peak. That's next.
Big news from Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel. We've moved. You'll now find us directly behind our old building, right by Sawmill Animal Hospital. We're still your trusted electrical distributor, carrying everything from conduit to tape. And don't forget our full line of Milwaukee tools. Whether you're a contractor or a DIY pro, stop by the new Robinson Electric Supply at 1222 West 6th Street and see what's lighting up Laurel. Robinson Electric Supply. New location, same trusted service.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, welcome back, and we'll continue that football countdown preview with South Alabama tomorrow, sponsored, of course, by Hancock Whitney Bank. All right, this segment was sponsored by Eagle Tire West out on Highway 98 West. Matt Warren and his great staff out there. They sell Goodyear premium tire products, all other major brands. They do full service work on autos and trucks, including AC work. Family operated since 1985 and big Southern Miss supporters. We really thank Eagle Tire West, as we do MCS Home Center. We will be there the Friday before the opening of football season at MCS Home Center. That's where you go for home repair, home remodeling, home construction, and everything you need for your next project, your home, lawn, or your garden. It's all at MCS Home Center Bellevue, 7329 Highway 98 West, Hattiesburg.
You were actually talking about Matt Warren. Isn't his dad handles the K zone up there every time there's a Southern Miss strikeout?
That's correct.
Yeah, yes. His dad puts the K's up there on the railing.
His parents are longtime season ticket holders, avid supporters of Southern Miss baseball.
And we like to see a lot of K's up there.
Yeah, do you know anybody else that's an avid supporter of Southern Miss baseball?
This is only an hour show, Bob. It need to be a week long just to...
Ben Brewer is. He coaches first base and, of course, is one of the great assistants on the storied Southern Miss baseball program. And we're always glad to have him on the Eagle Hour. Coach, welcome back to the show. We don't have you on here often enough.
Absolutely. No, I appreciate y'all having me. And I know right now is probably a lot of football talk, getting ready for the fall and football season. But it's always good to get on here and talk a little baseball.
Coach, it's always baseball talk on the Eagle Hour. I don't know if you're aware of that. We get kind of criticized at times.
Are you from Milwaukee, Coach?
I'm not. But
so you're not one.
I like the Brew Crew.
Yeah, you're not one of the famous Milwaukee Brewers, then.
No, I'm not. Unfortunately.
All right, Coach. I know you head up the camps, and that's a big part of every baseball program. But I know upcoming is the Father Son Camp, and I've had Coach Oz and Coach Barry and a lot of coaches through the years tell me, in many ways, that's the most special of all the camps. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, 100%. Probably our favorite camp to run. I know when I first got to Southern Miss, it was awesome to see the community support and the involvement that the players have in the community and the people that show up and support us. And I feel like this is a camp where we can kind of give back, get the dads and the sons out there, spend time together, but also teaching some things that they can work on in the backyard on their own, and hopefully build some relationships with fathers and sons and even daughters if they'd like to play softball.
Well, tell us how can people get signed up for the camp, and what all is involved in that activity?
Well, you can sign up SouthernMissBaseballCamps.com. That information is on our website as well. You can reach out to me, ben.brewer@usm.edu, and I can handle all that for you. But the involvement really is we're trying to make it almost more of an event than a camp. We're going to have teaching sessions, whether it's teaching fly balls, ground balls, some different techniques to hit, different pitches that they can throw. And the cool part about it is instead of the Southern Miss coaches teaching everything, we give the dads opportunity to take what we're talking about and teach their son, spend some time with their son. And then one of the fun things, we always do a home run derby, make the dads hit opposite-handed. So, and then we do a cool little thing at the end where we try and teach the kids a little bit, you know, how much the parents, whether it's financially or time-wise, how much they're putting into their children, and hopefully grow a little bond there, get a little note written to the parent.
And Coach Brewer, I wanted to ask you this, and I know I'm kind of the comic foil on this show, but this is a serious question that I ask you. With more and more stories of unruly parents at travel ball events, whether it's baseball or softball, one of the things that I guess I wish would be taught more, particularly from people that know what they're doing like you guys, is tell parents what is a reasonable expectation and what should they be doing as parents to encourage their kids rather at these travel ball events and so on, rather than making it so high pressure and intense. Yeah. Is that fair?
Yes, sir. Absolutely. That's something that when Coach Berry was here, we have a little session at the camp where he talks to the dads about some things related to that, and Coach Oz does the same. But I think a big part is, and we even talk to our players about it, this is a kid's game. We want to have fun. If you're having fun, usually you play at a higher level. So I think it's understanding, like, we're going out, we're competing, we're having fun, we're playing to the best of our abilities, and absolutely we're trying to win. But baseball, game of failure. So you're going to get out. You're going to make mistakes. How do you learn from that? How do you become a better player? How do you become a better person from learning how to handle that adversity?
And take us through the calendar, too, Coach Brewer, when the guys will report. And a school starts, what, next Monday, the 24th, I believe. And then how soon will you guys get cranking, and what does the fall look like at this point?
Yeah, so I believe there's been a couple rule changes where maybe you could start a little earlier. So our guys are all back on campus now. We got some guys milling around, but nothing structured. We'll have our team meetings Thursday and Friday, and then we're going to get to work on Monday. It's going to be individual work with hitters. Coach Rose is going to get the hitters rolling. Coach Gunner, Coach Oz are going to have the pitchers rolling in individual groups. So we'll do about a month of that and then scrimmages. So I think the good way to bring it together, you come over, watch us scrimmage, head over and tailgate for the football game.
The true freshmen coming in, has it been your experience that they have a tougher thing adjusting to campus life or baseball life at that level?
Ooh, that is a good question. We do a really good job at Southern Miss from our academics, baseball, all those different things. Keep them on track pretty well. I know it can be a lot, guys having some freedom, but our guys tend to handle that really well. I think really it's the hitters adjusting to some more velo and the 84-mile-an-hour sliders. Little tougher to handle than high school, but yeah, that's both are big tasks for a guy.
I think if I was playing D1 baseball at this stage, Bob, I'd pack a couple of extra pair of underwear because the first time I'd see a
right.
breaking pitch like those guys throw.
I can't even get you to go to D-bat and get in the cage, much less face one of the Southern Miss starting pitchers.
Man, oh man, I would soil
Coach,
myself.
Have you had a chance to talk to the three guys, your starters, that got a chance to go work out with Team USA, and then I know Graydon played some games. Have you had a chance to see those kids? And if so, what was their experience like?
I got to talk to them briefly. They've all been, you know, very excited and talked very highly of the experience. I think it's special that we had an opportunity to have, you know, three starting pitchers all go out there and I think the thing that they enjoyed, they got to play a game on July 4th wearing the red, white, and blue on their chest and have a little fireworks show at the end. So that was something that was awesome to see the videos and pictures of.
Yeah. I'm sure that they expressed, but it's got to be really special to have that USA on your chest and playing for your country.
Yeah, I think that's something every kid, every baseball fan growing up, that's something you dream of. And for them to have that opportunity, special. And that's what, you know, that's the goal, right? We try and bring guys in and develop them and give them opportunities to fulfill their dreams, whether it's pro baseball or Team USA, whatever that may be. So it's awesome to see our guys actually get to do those things.
And to show you where the Southern Miss baseball program is at this point, Bob, I mean, to have one guy invited to
Team USA. It's an honor. How about your weekend rotation?
I mean, I just don't, I mean, and I'm not saying this to sound patronizing. I don't think that that's ever been done before at Southern Miss.
I don't know that it has it, Coach Brewer? I don't really think it has.
Not that I'm aware of. I know, you know, the work that Coach Oz and Coach Leger put in with those pitchers. That's our goal now. That's our goal, is to, how many pitchers can we, you know, get to pro ball? How can we develop them? It's going to help Southern Miss, but it's also going to help those kids.
So there should be no reason why we can't win at least 50 next year.
Well, you know, I'm glad you brought that up, Kelly. Because, Coach, I wanted to ask you about this in the last minute. I've been thinking about this, knowing you were coming on the show. I see 50 wins, regional, super regional, home championship, and then deep into the College World Series. Can you go ahead and just predict that for us now?
I'm okay with that. Yeah, that's the goal every year. Let's get to Omaha and let's see how deep we can go. I think, you know, when we're talking to the team, it might be a little different message, one game at a time, you know.
Maybe.
make sure we're keeping our head on the right path. But, yeah, that's the goal every year, and we'll see if we can get that done.
Well, I can tell you, I wish it was starting yesterday. So I'm patiently waiting for February to roll around. But in the interim, Coach, we'll come out and watch a little fall baseball, if that's okay with you.
Heck yeah, come see us. It's a relaxed environment. We like to make sure we talk to everybody. And like I said, perfect timing to spend the morning with us and then get over and cheer on the football team.
And the Father and Son Baseball Camp, SouthernMissBaseballCamps.com. SouthernMissBaseballCamps.com.
Coach, thank you. You're always welcome on the Eagle Hour, sir. Always a pleasure to talk to Southern Miss Baseball.
Awesome. Thank you all so much.
All right. Coach Ben Brewer, everybody, out at USM.
And how many days in a row now have we talked about baseball?
I always count. I try to tell these guys all the time, guys, we've talked enough baseball. And they're going, oh, no, we want to talk more baseball. Never me.
We haven't had any fan complaints about it. That's for sure.
No, and I'm lying. I'm the first one that wants to talk about it. Hey, we're going to talk basketball when we come back.
Southern Miss to the top.
All right, D-Bass sponsors this segment of the program as we thank Coach Ben Brewer for coming on the Eagle Hour. Father-son baseball camp, don't forget about that. D-Bass sponsors this segment, as we said, out on Hardy Street. Great state-of-the-art batting and batting cages, track, training facilities, pro shop. We're still working on trying to get Kelly to agree to get in the batting cage if we do a broadcast from D-Bat. The guys at D-Bat are waiting, Kelly. They're just waiting on you to give us the go-ahead.
As soon as you guys will agree to the contract that there will be a member of AAA Ambulance and an oxygen tank on site, then I'll do it.
Would be a necessity. Hey, Forrest Hale, speaking of oxygen, remind you that keeping up with your favorite team is fun, but you're always the most important player. Get an annual physical. Be sure your health is as good as it can be. Forrest Health could help you expert medical care closer to home. Happy to say that it's official now. Forest Health has re-upped for a full year as an Eagle Hour sponsor, and we are very grateful to them.
I think September is Heart Health Month, I think, which, you know, the ticker is the most important thing, right? If the ticker doesn't work.
If the ticker ain't working, ain't nothing working.
That's right.
Mo Babinier Company, not maybe great for the ticker, but delicious for the stomach, man. There's no doubt about that. 2902 Hardy Street. You know, beignet every now and then is not going to hurt anybody. Facebook, go to Mo Bay Beignet Company, Hattiesburg. Check it out. Would you happen to know what the topping is?
Well, last I knew it was raspberry.
That's really one of my favorites.
Too. And beignet, Bob, if you look that up, it's French for fat-free.
Okay. Diabetic friendly.
Yeah, that's right.
Now, Calix Stevens is the newest member of the men's basketball coaching staff, and we're delighted to have him on the show. And, of course, whenever new coaches come, this is generally their first appearance, and for that we're very grateful. And Coach Stevens from Tuscaloosa, Alabama, welcome to Hattiesburg, Coach, and thanks for coming on the Eagle Hour.
Appreciate you guys for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Well, Coach, I got to tell you, and I know you haven't been here long, but we're real optimistic by what we're hearing and seeing about the roster that that Coach Ladner and his staff were able to put together every year. It's like a new roster in basketball now. Is there reason for our optimism? Have you seen already what we're so optimistic about?
Yes. I mean, there's a lot of excitement around this team. We got guys from all over. I think we have a really good core. Like I said, it should be exciting for the fans, to come and see this young, talented group. We got some experience with guys coming in, but overall, I think this group is it will be an exciting style of play that we have, ready to present for you guys and the fans. And I think it'll be interesting to see, how we can continue to mesh. But I think right now at this point, guys are starting to fill each other out, and we got some athleticism and some guys that can really play. So we're excited as a staff, and hopefully the fans are just as excited, because I mean we're going to be fun to watch this year. I will say that.
Coach Stevens, how old were you when you figured out on your own you needed to get the hell out of Tuscaloosa, Alabama?
I would say. Honestly, I'd probably say about my senior year. So my parents actually, they're Tuscaloosa born and raised, and me just playing basketball and sports, I think that I was like, yeah, I can't do Tuscaloosa. Although I'm a big Roll Tide fan, football only though. But although I'm a big Roll Tide fan, yeah, it was time to get out of Tuscaloosa after my senior year of high school. And from that point, I kind of just been all over the place with playing and now I'm coaching, so. It's been a journey for sure.
Yeah, and actually, the original connection with Southern Miss is Noah Croak and Ben Mandelbaum, who are on staff at Southern Miss. That you played for them. You were one of their players at some point. How did your paths recross, so to speak, and you wind up in Hattiesburg?
Yeah, so after my freshman year, I had a really good freshman year and decided I wanted to make the jump to a transfer, and that staff over at Tallahassee, which was obviously Noah Croak and Ben Mandelbaum, mm-hmm. Those guys reached out to me. I really liked the situation that they had over at Tallahassee, and, they convinced me, to come play for them, and obviously I played for them that year, and I went on to play Division I at Indiana State, and then once I got done playing, I decided I wanted to get into coaching, and obviously just my relationship with those two guys and staying connected with them, that kind of helped me. And after that, Noah actually contacted me and was like, hey, man, like, I really like what you're doing. I think you'll be a good fit. And I actually went to go help him coach at a high school to start my coaching career, and that's kind of how it really took off for me. So that's kind of the relationship I have with those. And then with Ben, Ben is my guy. I mean, we stay in touch for over 5 years, 6 years now. And, I'm always just, in contact with him, and he's always contacting me like, hey, man, what you doing? And Ben has actually tried to get me on some staffs where he's been at Chicago State and Alcorn. But, I turned those down just because of, other job opportunities. But, somehow the orange ball will always circle back around and reunite guys. So that's kind of how I crossed paths again with those guys, and now I'm here, man. I'm fortunate enough to be here.
Now, Coach, having been a Fighting Sycamore,
isn't that where Larry Bird played?
I was just going to ask him, yeah. Have you ever met the Hick from French Lick?
You know what? It's sad to say that I have not met Larry Bird. Now, Larry Bird is a big part of Indiana State. I mean, he has a huge stat. statue right outside the Holman Center. They actually just built a museum for him, I want to say maybe 2 years ago, and he came back for that, so I missed that opportunity to get to meet him. But he's been back for that 23-24 team, and he's been around there. So, unfortunately, I did not get to meet him, though.
Well, Coach, you know, if only he could have shot the basketball, he could have been a pretty good player, don't you think?
You know what? I would agree. Only if he was able to shoot the ball just a little bit better than what he did.
And if it's any consolation, Coach Stevens, Larry Bird gets asked all the time, has he met Kalix Stevens?
Yes, we heard that. Yes.
Yeah.
You know what? And I've heard that he said he has.
That's good.
Well, there's some miscommunication somewhere.
I can see we're going to like you, Coach.
Yeah. But, So tell us how you're hitting the ground running, and is there any aspect of the team in particular, Coach Stevens, that you're going to focus on?
Yes. Yeah, so, I mean, I'll do kind of a little bit of everything, you know, and I'm a guy who, you know, I want to be a sponge and kind of learn from some of these veteran guys that we have on staff. But I'll do a little bit of everything, from recruiting to a lot of our player developments, you know, to how our guys get better and stuff like that. You know, and just really in general, all aspects of the game. I mean, because nowadays in college basketball, man, nobody's doing one specific job. Everybody's kind of hands-on and, you know, doing everything where they see fit. So, honestly, outside of, like, recruiting and player development, I mean, it's really, you know, hands-on with everybody. So, I mean, I kind of be doing a little bit of everything, jumping around, but mainly player development, a lot of recruiting and things of that nature, so.
Well, Coach, when you look at this basketball team right now, what do you like about the roster that you see has been put together?
Yeah, so I think what stands out to me is our size. We have some really big guards. We've got some size at the big position. We got a couple footers, some 6'6" point guards. So we've got size and a lot of talent at those positions. I think depth-wise, we're deep. I mean, we have a lot of guys who can really play and score the basketball. So I think those things, the size and the skill, really stands out for me. And I think we'll be really good just because we have so much depth. And I mean, when I say depth, I mean we have guys. Like, we have guys. And I think that'll be really key for us as we get down the stretch and, you know, wear and tear on guys just from so many games and practices and stuff. So I think that'll be key for us, just being able to have an exponential amount of guys that can come in and, you know, and fill that gap where we see fit. So those two things really stand out for me. And, I mean, we have, like I said, we got a couple of seven-footers who will be really good for us, and they're skilled seven-footers. So I think that nowadays when you have guys who are seven-foot and they're really skilled, I think that, you know, you can really benefit from that from an offensive and defensive standpoint.
Well, we're excited, and we're very optimistic, and we're glad you're here, and we're grateful that you would take a little time to talk to us.
Oh, I appreciate you guys for having me. Anytime. I thank you guys for bringing me on, and I'm excited for this new journey and looking forward to bringing home in a championship. So.
Good deal.
And, Bob, with 2 7-footers now, Miss Angela can get her picture taken with these 2 7-footers that go up to their knees.
Yeah, then when I get to meet you in person, Coach, I've got to show you the picture of my 4'11" wife
please,
with
please
the 2 7-footers. It's pretty weird. Hey, a pleasure meeting you, and I look forward to meeting you in person, Coach.
Yes, sir. Thanks for having me.
All right. Kalix Stevens, everybody, new basketball coach at Southern. How many basketball coaches are there?
There's a lot of assistant coaches, for sure. I mean,
there's a set number, right, per sport?
You know, I don't know that answer,
that's
Bob.
That's an interesting question.
But when they call timeout and they have the little folding chairs out there, there's about as many assistants as there are healthy players.
On every basketball team.
Yeah, sure.
On every basketball team. All right, we appreciate Kalix Stevens being on, along with Ben Brewer and Troy head coach. It's been quite a show. We covered baseball, basketball, football. Right?
You act like this is something different, Bob. Like this is, we do this
every
day
on
the
Eagle Hour. Sure. Hey, Genesis of Hattiesburg's the official auto dealer of the Eagle Hour. Genesis sedans and SUVs all at Mississippi's exclusive Genesis dealership. Big Southern Miss supporters is Genesis of Hattiesburg, Highway 98 West. Don't forget about our podcast. Thousands of you find us that way. Apple, Audible, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, YouTube, Alexa, or Siri will play it for you. We'll be right back.
Big news from Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel. We've moved. You'll now find us directly behind our old building, right by Sawmill Animal Hospital. We're still your trusted electrical distributor, carrying everything from conduit to tape. And don't forget our full line of Milwaukee tools. Whether you're a contractor or a DIY pro, stop by the new Robinson Electric Supply at 1222 West 6th Street and see what's lighting up Laurel. Robinson Electric Supply. New location, same trusted service.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
All right, everybody, welcome back. Look, if you've got some old gold, silver lying around your house, you need cash, you hear us talk about it every day, but it's true. Take it out of Jewel Masters. They specialize in buying gold and silver, and they've been doing it longer than anybody. They're fairer than anybody. They're more confidential than anybody. That's just the place to go. So if you're going to sell gold or silver, coins, jewelry, bars, I suppose.
Teeth?
No, Kelly, I don't think they buy teeth.
You can't? Okay.
No, I don't think so. I hope not. They'll pull them on the spot.
I would think that gold is gold, that you probably could.
Only you would think like that.
Melt down
gold.
Well,
we'll ask Marty.
Teeth.
We'll ask Marty.
I'd be interested in that.
Jewel Masters, Marty Vick, and right now we don't think he's buying teeth. We do think he's buying gold and silver.
The gold in teeth. You know what I'm talking about. Yeah.
But you got to get the tooth out to get the gold.
Yeah, that's true.
Do you
get
extra for the tooth? Or is it, I don't know.
I don't know what tooth fairy's given these days.
Kelly, if you wanted to cater the first homecoming football game or the first football game tailgate, where would you go?
I tell people all the time that Dickie's is the only place that I would really consider. And it's not because they're a one-trick pony. They've got lots of different meat choices and your side dishes as well. So the first tailgate party, you could feature meat A and then side dishes B and C. Mm-hmm. And then the second tailgate party, meat B and side dishes C and D.
Now I've got to figure out how to get invited to a tailgate. That doesn't happen very often with me.
You got to have some friends. And my friends and I could tailgate in a phone booth.
Yeah. I would agree with you. Yes. All right, Kelly, news and notes.
Well, actually, we talked yesterday about the soccer teams, the first team out of the gate for Southern Miss this year. They have a split on the season 1-1 so far. The women will head to Mississippi State this coming Sunday afternoon for the next event. But tomorrow on the program, and we're going to get to news and notes in a minute, but we're going to learn more about the Southern Miss Marching Band tomorrow when Travis Higa, the Marching
Always
Band,
look forward to that every
along
year.
along with some of the drum majors that are going to be calling the shots for the band this year. That's always fun.
And South Alabama.
Yes, and our football previews continue. But when it comes to NIL deals, and we all know that one of the things that all schools agree on is that there should be some kind of cap, that everybody kind of is used to the idea now of players being compensated, but to what degree? So based on, and I'm not sure where they come up with these figures, but the top three NIL spending schools, Bob, going into this football season, what would you guess would be some of those? Now, I mean, you'd think Ohio State, right? I mean,
I would think SEC when it comes to spending money.
You would. Mm-hmm. Okay, so you wouldn't put Ohio State in there?
Well, I don't think no one's hungrier to win than SEC schools.
Well, actually, there are no Big Ten schools in the top three.
They're all SEC, aren't they?
Yes. Yes, they are.
Let's start with number three.
Number three, Texas A&M, the Aggies.
They've been trying to buy a championship now for several years.
Well, the thing that's amazing about they're still paying, what's his name, the $76 million that they owed him when they canned him about 4 years ago.
Old money, Kelly. Old money.
I guess stupid money.
All right, so Texas A&M number three. Do we know what they're going to spend?
No,
a lot.
Yeah, they're just shy of $40 million.
This is one season.
Yeah.
Number two.
Also in the SEC, also from the state of Texas.
Texas.
The Longhorns, that's right.
No.
Longhorns.
I'm just surprised they're not number one.
No, they're only ahead of Texas A&M by $2 million. $41 million is what they project.
I think about eight of that goes to the quarterback.
Who's never thrown a
yeah, right.
Never thrown a pass
All
yet.
All right, so now we're down to number one, and it is in the SEC.
Mm-hmm. Now, you know the quarterback at Ole Miss got a nice check. And you'd think that might put Ole Miss on the radar.
I'm going LSU.
You are correct, sir. Yes.
LSU.
They think that when Lane Kiffin's promises will all be fulfilled, that will be a $50 million roster at LSU.
Which raises this question. We've got a minute left. Is an SEC football championship really worth $50 million?
Well, you always heard that the marketplace determines what something is worth. So I guess if it's that big of a deal, that yes, it would be. I mean, I don't know what the financial return would be. I always look at return on investment, right? Any investment, you want to make sure you're going to get your money back plus more. So I don't know the economic value of a national championship. But $50 million is a pretty good lick, considering that's 2.5 times more than any proposal that's coming down the pipe that would limit it at $20 million. I don't think anybody has a problem so much with how much that players are being compensated, but it is a little bit ridiculous when a quarterback is going to make more his senior. He'll never have to work again. No. What's the point of having
a
degree?
You can't even get $50 for a remote.
You said that. I didn't. However,
a little inside joke.
Yes, there. However, that is true. But I mean, it really cheapens a degree, because you make $5 million and invest it properly, you'd never have to work again.
Well, the one at Ole Miss did invest part of it. I understand he bought him a big mansion in downtown Oxford to live in his senior year.
Well, I hope that he'll be able to get his money back.
Remember when guys were just happy to live in Van Hall for the year?
And you were really lucky if you had an air unit window conditioner, air conditioner.
Correct. Or you didn't have to room with Marchant Kenny.
Right. Oh, gosh.
We'll be back tomorrow at 1 o'clock.
We
Southern
think.
Miss.
To the top. 777 into the future.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.